Your old or broken phone can let you down. But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence with a new line on MyPlan and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. After all, you don't want your old phone to die on you when you're lost.
Perfect.
Or for your broken phone to glitch at the worst possible time.
Hey, can I get your number?
Oh. Trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad.
Thank you so much for joining us for your SmackDown post show for February 21st. We have so much to talk about with The Rock showing back up on SmackDown. And if The Rock shows up, so does the final Ross. This is what happens, okay? I carry the show like a dutiful champion for the better part of the year. And then this guy just shows up and he's like, I'm popping onto SmackDown. And I was like,
you're dutiful, all right.
I am. I'm Lady Dutiful, all right? And I was like, do I get a night off? And he was like, no, I want you to be my host. And I was like, I'm a host of the people. And he was like, no. I want you to be my host. But we've got Sean Rossap here to tell you all about what's going on as the Rock strolls in, at least the best that we can tell. So get in those super chats. Get in those Humper Chats at humperchats.com. Subscribe to this YouTube channel as well. We are 127,000 subscribers strong. We appreciate that support so much. But of course, subscribe to Fightful Select. Normally, I give you the hard sell, but why would I do that when Mr. Scoopski himself is here? Sean, you've been saying on this setup on the road to WrestleMania, which we're officially on the expressway now, The Rock has not been planned.
We're in a 12-car pileup. That's what we're in.
We
are in a gridlock after a sports game trying to get out of the third level of a parking garage. That's where we are on the road to WrestleMania after tonight.
Big guy gives up his season tickets, and here we are. This is what goes on with your parking situation. But you have been saying all along, but if The Rock shows up, that's the kind of guy you rearrange your WrestleMania plans for. You've been saying that very consistently. I listen to the show, so I know that much. I don't know what the internet says, but we've got all sorts of stuff on here. We got Alex Fitzgerald saying Rock and Cody soul on a pole match.
You want to add some soul to your pole, check out bluechew.com. No code needed anymore.
No code needed anymore. We're in a new era on Blue Chew, but Anthony Velasquez saying, I'm sure whatever the storyline between The Rock and Cody is will be good, but the setup tonight was confusing. That, I think, is the general sentiment. Kim Gray, who's always so wonderful to us, saying, I try not to curse, but what the F was that? Yeah, this was an interesting one, but The Rock showing up. A couple of things here, announcing that WrestleMania 42 is going to be in New Orleans, and then, of course, the segment that we saw after.
Yeah. So, first off, I just want to say, abysmal episode of SmackDown. Like, if you ever watch my review shows, it's shocking to me when there are weirdos on Twitter that are like, yeah, Sean is so biased towards AEW. I'm like, man, my bar for enjoying wrestling is so low that it is insane. If it makes sense, I probably enjoy it. If it makes sense and the matches just aren't actively bad, I will probably like it. And WWE has done a phenomenal job of that in recent years. I felt like this was one of the worst shows that they have had in a very long time. What on earth was The Rock stuff? Like, you can tell they threw this at the wall in the last few days. And then I asked, of course, they did throw it at the wall in the last couple of days. Now, I'm going to have more on FightfulSelect.com. I'll do the quick plug for Fightful Select so that I can get into my rants and the news. We had the SmackDown Scoops thread today. We had details behind the Rock and Cody segment. Along with Masked Jay of PWN, we broke the news of Carmella. Her contract has expired. We had details on frustration behind the women's scene in WWE, which is very funny because I saw a lot of detractors on an aggregated post be like, oh, well, it's Fightful, must not be credible. But I didn't see them saying that on the Scoops thread that was aggregated by that same person. We had news on TNA signing Elijah last night. We've always got our Discord. We kind of revealed that Vince McMahon wanted Ronda Rousey to eliminate like 29 people from the Rumble last year. We had details behind the Shane and Tony Khan thing that Jonathan Coachman had brought up yesterday. We had a lot of details on that. FightfulSelect.com. Please go and subscribe. We're going to have a lot of injury updates and stuff. First off, what on earth was The Rock stuff? That absolutely got thrown at the wall. Why did Trish Stratus wait so long to help out Tiffany Stratton? Why on earth did three people out there and she's waiting until after the match? Like, was her Uber late or something? Like, what happened? I haven't seen as many like missed spots, missed moves, missed everything as on this show in WWE. Usually, if you see like two or three on a show, it's a lot for WWE. They keep their stuff like very, very tight. Miz and Carmelo, why? R-Truth and Miz continuing anything? Why? Another no contest in a tag title match. Really, they had three advertised matches, one of which changed, another one went to a no contest, and another one got completely thrown out, and they didn't even do it. Liv and Raquel are getting a tag title shot for theoretically attacking someone after they lost a tag team match to Io and Dakota last week, and apparently Sami Zayn does not have a ring camera. There's a lot on this show that, like, listen, and again, my bar is in hell as it relates to enjoying a wrestling show. Nothing I like more than football and pro wrestling, those two things. But this was insanely bad. I will say this, by WWE standards of the last couple of years, if you plopped this down in 2019, I'd probably go, all right, not so bad. But we ain't in 2019 anymore. We ain't got to go by those levels. But God, this Rock thing. So this was something that came up this week. They adjusted it, kind of threw it together. And then by this afternoon, when the rundowns went out, it didn't have Cody on the main event anymore. And it's something I had noted on Fightful Select. I actually teased it on my Twitter. Like, hey, guys, this could affect somebody pretty important on the show. Well, they told us right out of the gate it was Cody. The Rock's out there waffling. Cody's writer was assigned to this segment, but to be clear, when people hear that and read that, he's not writing The Rock's dialogue verbatim. The Rock is not scripted to drop F-bombs and stuff like that. There was a producer assigned for it as well. Usually that indicates physicality. We didn't really see any outside of Michael or like him touching Cody's face, but it was interesting because usually The Rock kicks off the show because usually he wants to get the hell out of there. They saved this for the 10 p.m. hour. They set up The Rock coming to Elimination Chamber. And that was surprising to me. First off, I was surprised that he was there tonight, but not as surprised. He announced WrestleMania for New Orleans next year. I'm excited to go to that city and do some media. I ain't going to Vegas this year probably, but I'm excited to go to New Orleans for the first time. Check that out. But an interesting note about that, somebody who I talked to that worked there like 2 or 3 years ago was like, yeah, that was actually on our internal schedule back then in like 2022, 2023. They're like, I'm very surprised that it actually stayed considering there was all that Minneapolis, Las Vegas drama. So this has been a plan of theirs for quite some time. They've still got to get like Indianapolis on the slate as well, but glad that they announced WrestleMania. I think New Orleans, will be a good city for this sort of era of WWE, but, like The Rock wanting Cody Rhodes to give him a Kia Soul, like a car.
I said, I cover NXT and Sol Ruka's down there doing the Soul Snatcher as her finisher. I thought, man, I didn't think she was going to work her way into it. But
all I got to do is ask Ava. She's right the GM. There.
She tweeted during the show, Souls is crazy, which I heard Twitter is one of the funniest that you can follow. But very generous chat from Bad Robot here saying, hello, favorite post show. I'm so glad The Rock came back the same week a story broke of women being frustrated. Who needs TV time? I hope Bianca attacks Jade and goes on a heel RVD-like run. I've never heard SRS say that.
What was that? Sorry, I missed the last part of it.
That Bianca goes on like a heel RVD like run.
I would love it. I mean, I had always said that, like, with Ricochet, if I was 10% as good at anything as he is at athleticism and wrestling, you would never get me to shut up. Bianca, same way. If I was as good, like, at anything as she is, you could never get me to shut up about it. Like, I think she could be phenomenal like that. Now, I know that she loves being a baby face. It's something that had been important to her, but I think it's time. You got to do something fresh and new.
Yeah, I think it's more fun to turn her than Rhea too. I think it'll be an easier thing if that's the direction they choose to go at Elimination Chamber. But Anthony Velasquez saying, is The Rock supposed to be schizophrenic or something? He was switching between face and heel like crazy in one segment. That's something I saw a lot of online too. Road Dogg isn't beating the allegations here. Like, there were a lot of people that spoke specifically to that the heel and face imbalance in the same segment was really, really off. And I think that had to do with the fact that you were granting a city, a WrestleMania, a city that you were in right now, which is just organically going to get a huge pop. But then as the character, he's supposed to kind of be a heel. And this was all over the place. I'll also say, when he stopped by NXT, his promo was real rough. Like, he did not plan anything. He did not say much. He flat out said, there are no superstars on the show. These are for the wrestlers of tomorrow. So there's a tough one.
We are checking this, DNC Digital. Thank you for putting these notes in the chat. We greatly appreciate that.
Yeah, and if you paid it.
Rock had a new theme with Lil Wayne in it.
He did. It did not hit the same as the old theme. I didn't feel
like. I mean, listen, it's like he's had some really good ones. Like, the Hollywood Rock theme is really great too. He's had several good themes, but let's get some super chats, humper chats while I'm here.
Sure. Me, Norma, saying, I'm the pork chop that never flops, so lost. I don't need sauce and meat. Doesn't eat. Mother effing Meat Normus is here. It's so cold. Forgive the lack of clavicles. Meat Normus forever. That was a very generous chat, but let's dig into some more of these. Cody is turning heel. Two-man power trip is back. I don't see that being the case with Cody, partly because he said, like, if I go heel, I'm going full nuclear. But Andrew's saying, Cody, I'm doing something extremely wicked. The Rock as Nibble.
I will say this. If Cody did go full nuclear heel with The Rock, with Roman as the foil, I think that could be very interesting. I do. But I just want to make, like, something abundantly clear. There was no solid plan for this like a week ago. And when The Rock showed up at Bad Blood and was like throwing up fingers and everything, there was no plan. There was nothing. So even if they get on this press conference and The Rock is like, I'm 20 steps ahead. Told you. No, there wasn't. Maybe he had like a hypothetical plan like in his head. But then, like, 2 days ago, he's on his own Instagram saying, you know what? There are some times where I think that it's one day and some days that I think it's day one. I've decided to be day one today and do something that I've always wanted to do. I'm like, all right, cool. Good. I mean, I think the show is typically far more interesting with The Rock involved, one of the most famous people in the world. It's just, this was the thing when I was asking people in creative, like, okay, so you all are moving forward without plans for The Rock. And that's why I always included it in every article. They are fully aware he could just stroll in at any point and say, actually, I've got this date, and this date. And I thought Andrew Baydala brought up a really, really great point on his live stream today, where he's like, The Rock's doing a Scorsese movie, and there's a good chance, as Will Chisholm says, tried out his new movie line from the Scorsese movie. Like, there's a chance he might be dropping a lot of weight for that and might not be able to do stuff like that. But my God, there were so many people that were like, no, they wouldn't have The Rock come out there for no reason at Bad Blood. Yes, they did. You know why? Because he's The Rock. And maybe the previous era would not have jumped all over having The Rock on a show in any way they could. But the current regime does. And I think it's smart. It's not always appeasing for this generation of WWE fans that are typically rewarded long term for paying attention. Which it's kind of funny because, like, in the Vince era, shit, him doing this would have been like the highlight of any, almost any show, and large usually was when he did it. But these days, people are like, we see that you don't have a plan for this, and we'll see how it plays out. But it's pretty clear this isn't connecting with this, and so forth.
The let it play out narrative got beat into the ground. Here it's been mostly getting rewarded, but some more love for the idea of a Cody heel turn. I think Cody may actually turn heel and go full out Homelander, which sets up the Cena chase. Truly a bold but interesting angle to do that. It could work. I feel like if it's Cena versus Cody, you do the like looking into a mirror thing because they're such similar types of baby faces in my opinion, but I'm for a Cody heel turn. I just think if you do that, you're really doing that. And he's making so much money on the merch side right now. He's so beloved by fans. I think maybe, in my opinion, you let the shiny newness wear off. But I've got a question for you, Sean Rossap. What do we think this does to the main event scene of WrestleMania? And do you think CM Punk is going to have to
That's a loaded question. How in the hell can I answer that?
I'm paying you the big bucks over here. I super chatted it.
Oh my God. I don't
You think
I,
we do a Roman Cody Rock
to get to the one-on-one? No. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. I have no idea. I don't know if they know right now.
That's fair. That is fair. Broadway Joe saying I actually think the chamber winner turns heel. Will Chisholm saying I think Cody says no, but Cena says yes. This whole scene feels like it got flipped upside down, similar to last year, but in a different way. I think at a more opportune time than that. But I also had this question unrelated to The Rock, rather. Anthony Velasquez said, why is Drew taking a pin to Jimmy Uso the week before Elimination Chamber? So much of the frustrations with this episode overall felt like the things that we got tonight are the things that we used to get in the Vince era to me. And Drew losing to a roll-off gave me like flashbacks, like bad flashbacks to the Vince era. And then with the DQ endings tonight and all the post-match stuff, my goodness, but Crazy 101 saying, get the receipt, Sean.
I still got dipshits on Twitter saying, you reported Alexa Bliss wasn't coming back. I'm like, what? Where is media literacy today? Like I was hopeful that if one thing that I helped out during my tenure is media literacy. But I got fucking goofballs making posts on Facebook. Fightful claimed that TKO is buying Lucha Underground. We ain't ever reported that. Never. This shit has 6,000 likes on Facebook. 6,000. You know what I'd do for 6,000 likes on one of our Facebook posts?
I've seen them.
Well, we should just start making stuff up.
I would fight your grandparents in the streets for that many likes on a post. But somebody just makes shit up and attributes it to us. Come on.
Well, I think you've helped media literacy, but I think some people can't be helped. I'll put it that way. But 2LT Photo said, Effie put a golf ball in someone's butt tonight at XWW.
Yeah, I believe it.
He says,
it.
Hi, Sean. Thanks, Clev. Salute, bro. The Rock trying to be a goddamn villain. Matthew Hooks just wants to know, did Triple H just stop trying? I think
it was bad. It was very
really bad tonight. It was really, really bad tonight. We did have the news of Road Dogg being named like a co-writer on SmackDown. Hopefully this
co-lead writer.
Co-lead writer. Hopefully this is like an adjustment and not a regular thing, because this was a really, really just front to, we haven't had a front to back bad episode in a long time. We've had episodes that had some really bad stuff on it. We've had episodes that were maybe even majorative bad, like 60-40 bad to good, but we have not had one that there's pretty much something where I'm like, I didn't like that the way it went every segment. But Vic saying, Dwayne, I want your soul, man, Johnson. Let's dig into what we can only hypothesize that The Rock was trying to get out here, Sean, because he says, I want you to be my champion. He kind of waxes poetic about their families. He says, we drink Terramana tequila for 2 hours, sneaks in a plug for Moana into this. And Cody says, I'm a champion of them. I'm a champion of the people. And as The Rock is leaving, he kind of leaves this proposition on the table saying, think about it. Look at all the success that I've accumulated. And then says he wants his soul. We get a nice little, your soul is mine. Shang Tsung shot from Vol up here, but
it is a full circle thing where The Rock is in his own position from 98, 99, where he viewed himself as a people's champ. Wouldn't you love to kick back with a great cigar, especially during that cool evening weather? It's the perfect time to relax with friends, maybe watch a game, or enjoy a nice evening outside. When it comes to finding the best cigars, Cigars International is the go-to. They've got everything. Whether you're looking for a classic favorite or trying something new, Cigars International never disappoint. They're the go-to retailer for all things cigars, the biggest selection, and they have unbeatable deals and discounts. And we've got one for you here. Visit CigarsInternational.com/Fightful or use code Fightful at checkout for 20% off orders $50 or more, plus free shipping on your entire order. They've got fast shipping and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. You can shop with confidence knowing that Cigars International stands behind every order. Whether you're new to cigars or a seasoned pro, Cigars International makes it easy to find the right cigar with helpful guides, staff reviews, and expert advice. Visit CigarsInternational.com/Fightful or use code Fightful at checkout for 20% off orders, $50 or more, plus free shipping on your entire order. Champion, and then got tempted with the corporate champion element of that. Like, this is something that makes an awful lot of sense to throw out there. It's just, it came so out of nowhere. Realistically, you could say that The Rock was just... The Rock was just like, you know, full of in character, full of ego on the power trip that he went through last year. And even though he couldn't angle his way in the way that he wanted to last year, the character wants to this year.
Sure. I don't know if I love this year's WrestleMania being about last year's WrestleMania when we already did a documentary on it, but John Guada.
Yeah, but I mean, you can't ignore history though. Like, history is a thing that they should play off of and they shouldn't ignore. And this is that is just like an element and an addition to the character. Like, I don't have an issue with that. It's just, I wonder if they actually will. And it doesn't have to be exactly that in order for it to be good or satisfying or anything like that. But, it's been a weird 12 and a half months with The Rock. Very, very weird and up and down and all these changes. And then they want to tell us, well, 20 steps ahead. No, absolutely not.
We got a Humper Chat from John Guada. Thank you for chiming in via Humper Chat. We get to keep a little bit more of the money you send in when you send it in that way. So he says, spoiler alert, CM Punk will sell his soul and be the leader of The Rock's corporation. CM Punk is kind of like a wild X factor in this right now, because I think you could very easily pivot to The Rock, Roman, Cody at Mania, set up The Rock, Roman match we've finally been wanting maybe for SummerSlam, make some hay that way. But you kind of already said you're giving us Seth and Rock and Punk. So I don't know fully what that looks like. I've been dying for CM Punk to turn heel, and I've been dying for that guy to leave a faction since he came back to wrestling. I've been wanting this since he was back in AEW, so I'm all for that. Cardoza, you've been awful quiet over there. I know that you were kind of bummed with this episode in similar ways that Sean and I were. Bad Robot pointing out that what is with all the rematches thing, also complimenting my sweater. Thank you so much. But saying that's an old regime thing. This whole episode kind of had some complaints to it, but specifically with the Rock and Cody, what did you think of that segment?
Very long, confusing. It could have been an email. I mean, all of the above. It was just, as it kept on going, it made less sense. I'll tell you that much. And as someone who works in the industry, in the entertainment industry, and has to write, I know what every single minute of talking is worth and what that's like and how much you can say even in 60 seconds, right? Sure. And for them to go almost like what felt 30 minutes of just being out there patting each other in the back, it felt like it was just a waste of time. I don't like talking bad about them unless they were like in front of me, but I'll never be in front of The Rock, right? But but it's just, there's no other way to put it, unfortunately. I was missing the wrestling element. I know Michael Cole mentioned something about that they don't do that anymore, but I was missing I wanted physicality. I wanted him to slap Cody at least once and then walk out of the ring.
Well, I think that's part of what the confusion was, is because they were like mortal enemies, and then were suddenly on the same page. And then in this segment, it seemed like we had a little bit of both. But Sean pulling up in the chat some of the press conference highlights there, if you want to check those out. But someone I know you'll want to check out is Finn McAwesome, who says, what a weird Rocky promo. Could have been a third of the time if he didn't repeat himself so much. Yes, he talked a lot without saying a whole heck of a lot, but Finn McAwesome is, in fact, McAwesome. He's done a lot of work for us at Fightful, in Australia, getting some great interviews for us, also a sponsor of the Fightful Awards. So please show him some love. JW Pringle saying Rocky is in Memento or Twin Peaks and no one knows it but him. What a weird thing to do. And Ryan Lambert saying Dixie Carter and BG James booking 2015 TNA tonight. Yeah, this is the first episode in a long time that I feel like the whole episode was amiss. There's been pacing things when we've gone to 3 hours now, and we've been kind of all over the map with some stuff, but this was the first time in a long time it felt like the whole episode was a swing and a miss. Yeah, Turner Hoffman saying, just wanted to shout out fellow football and wrestling fan Tom Grossi, who raised over $700,000 for Children of Fallen Patriots. That's awesome. That's incredible. I think that's what had Adam Pearce showing his feet on stream over there. So, yeah, this whole thing was kind of all over the place. I think that's where we're caught up on chats, but we're going to rant similarly to how Sean did a lot in this episode. There were some good developments here, but this really was kind of all over the place. A couple notes from the scrum: that The Rock originally wanted to announce it at the Super Bowl and confirmed that there will be televised WWE shows in New Orleans during the buildup. So, of course, the Super Bowl being in New Orleans this year, that would have been an incredible audience to announce it at. But a noteworthy thing from the scrum, and also this quote from The Rock: with the final boss and Cody, it's not about the WWE title or having a match. It never has to accumulate to a match. That's a really fun and special place to be, I think, creatively and character-wise, and how much fun you can have. That seems extremely weird.
Yeah.
I don't know how else to put it, Sean.
Yeah. I'm going to wrap up. I will be over at Fightful Select throughout the weekend doing Discord-related stuff, but thanks for having me on, guys.
Yeah, thanks for popping on.
Get some rest, sir.
Yes.
And there goes the final boss.
There goes the literal
final boss, yeah.
The final Ross Sapp over there. But, guys, we're going to keep going with the SmackDown review portion of this. We thank Sean for hopping on, answering some questions, going through some chats, talking about what a weird little episode we had. But before we get to any of that, we are going to take a moment and tell you all about how I watched the show, how Sean watched the show, how I know Alexis watches some of these shows, and that is with our friends at NordVPN.
I have long talked with you guys about the content that you can access with NordVPN.com/Fightful, but it doesn't just stop at pro wrestling. You can get MMA and boxing pay-per-views at a much more affordable price when you change your virtual location with just one click using NordVPN.com/Fightful. It doesn't stop there either. Football games. Man, if you want to check out those out-of-market football games, you don't have to spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars. You can get NordVPN.com/Fightful and just change your virtual location. How about baseball games? They make it harder than ever to actually watch baseball games. It is a task, not with NordVPN.com/Fightful. They got everything you need, in addition to all the threat protection and security that comes with NordVPN. But if you want that content, NordVPN.com/Fightful is right for you.
We love Nord. We love Nord so much. Fantastic partner to us. We're going to keep talking about all of this. We've got this episode of SmackDown to get through. We've got more to talk about with The Rock and Cody, but we kind of skimmed the surface of it. I'll ask you, since Sean said I have no effing clue. I feel like if you're going to do this, the obvious thing is to pivot to Roman, Cody, and The Rock at Mania. Like, if he's available, you do it. That leaves CM Punk and Seth at a really weird place, and certainly not in the main event. People that have been pushing for the CM Punk main event for decades, literally, are going to have an awful time with that. What do you think this does to the main event scene if The Rock is in fact going to wrestle and that presser quote that was very weird is a decoy?
Honestly, I feel like this is the beginning of that storyline, right? So you're building something towards WrestleMania, which is not that far away. Hey, I want you to be my corporate sidekick. He declines. They get into it, and here we go. I mean, that's the only outcome. Like, Cody's not turning heel. We know Cody's not turning heel, you know. So I think that's the way. And you build you've already set the tempo. Sure. I beat your ass. We became friends. Our mothers are best friends. You come into my house. We're hanging out, watching Moana, sipping tequila. Now, how dare you? You know, say no to The Rock. Bam, slaps him across the mouth. And here we go. On to WrestleMania we go, you know, like.
Sure.
And what better way to position, again, someone like Cody to be a ginormous megastar than to beat the guy who, quote unquote, owns WWE because, you know, Ari Emanuel told him, you're the owner of WWE. I just, whatever, you know?
Yeah, I feel like you should probably know if you own WWE or not, because it sounded like neither of them knew. But,
but yeah, I just feel like that's the only way. I mean, how do you inject Roman? How do you inject CM? How do you inject anyone into this now? You can't. This is going to be like last year where everything was just like, whoa, what's happening right now? You know, like what storylines are making sense?
I mean, I feel like you almost have to inject Roman to get to... I feel like you have to set up Roman and The Rock out of this, however you choose to do that. If it's for the title and you have Roman win, cool. If one of them cost each other the title and Cody carries it through Mania, cool. But I feel like after everything that we got last year and all of the work of like Cody and Roman being on the same side and all this, like I feel like you have to go and make that a triple threat. And I also don't think it's fair that... You can't do Cody and The Rock and then have Roman in this like side triple threat with CM Punk and Seth Rollins. Suddenly that feels like such an inorganic thing for Roman Reigns. Like it feels like that would just not be his priority anymore. If The Rock.
Well, that honestly would be the most obvious way of getting The Rock to lose this match. If it is a three-way, sure. Right? So you don't, somebody looks strong. Somebody doesn't look, you know, like they're bowing down basically, right? And then he just mentioned that we're gonna have WrestleMania in Louisiana. This could set up what he has done in the past with John Cena. Hey, I'm gonna see you at WrestleMania, what is it, 42, in Louisiana next year. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is what you want to do. You got a whole year to think about what you just done to me, you know?
Well, seeing as hanging it up after this year, this is a big retirement tour year, right? So,
yeah. Okay, so you're going to need something big for next year.
Yes. Yes, you will. JW Pringle saying it's no longer Chekhov's gun. It's Rocky's match. Kind of how it feels. Kind of how it feels. Guys, get in your super chats and your humper chats. Look, we don't just feel down about this segment. We feel down about this whole episode, unfortunately. So hang in there with us. Let's chat along because...
And if you feel down... No, I'm just kidding. Let me just drink my water.
We'll tell you how to get back up. That's for damn sure. But let's dive into this. We also have Cody being pulled out of the trios match by The Rock.
Yeah.
Which was advertised for tonight. This was a very, very weird episode all around. And I think because of the way this got injected into it, maybe that changed the flow of stuff. But man, we should have known. We should have known with the way that it started. Because Jimmy Uso rolls up Drew McIntyre, who's of course livid about this. It's a week before the Chamber. I don't know like what he's supposed to get back. I hate that Drew McIntyre would lose to a roll-up. This felt like, I hate comparing anything in the new era to the Vince era because Vince is a horrible human being. So I don't like to draw comparisons, but if we're looking just at a creative standpoint, this felt like that era episode with the roll-up finish, with the DQ finishes, with the, DQ finishes in the tag picture, especially with the way the women's booking was, like it just feels like it was all over the place. But Drew McIntyre, of all people, losing to a roll up too. Like Jimmy Uso is really good. It's actually been really nice to see him back in action, like pretty consistently, because I think he's been excellent. But my goodness, man, like I find a more creative way to do stuff than the same three things that constantly happen. Especially from an era that everybody hated the way that they were functioning in. We know what that looks like. Jimmy Uso is a great wrestler. There's better ways for him to earn a victory, but that's what happens with this one, Alex. I don't know. What did you think of what we got here?
I don't there wouldn't be a reason to phone this episode in and to like kind of play around with,
no,
with the way that things went around. I don't know.
You think they'd want to kick it up a notch with all the people tuning in to see The Rock.
I don't know what, you know, I'm lost with what Big Jim is doing. You know, I feel like he's just kind of floating around now that he's been literally separated from Bloodline stuff and whatever, you know, like he just, to me, he just feels like, what's he like? I'm sorry. Like, I don't. The term jobber is so bad, but I just feel like he's just there now.
He's not losing, but he is aimless.
There's no direction. Where is the end goal? What is he going for? None of that. He's just like, you know, the same old thing. We're gonna do your walking, you know, your tracking shot, talking. You're gonna go out to the crowd and dance.
And face a guy, like defending.
Yeah.
Drew's obviously a very high caliber component, and super. I like that. Like Drew, he even tweeted, like, I can't escape the Bloodline vortex, which popped me huge as someone who's very tired of the Jericho vortex. But I like that it's kind of like the last guy in that picture that Drew's never really faced before. If you're having Drew come over to SmackDown, he should be facing Jimmy Uso, but it doesn't feel like that's the program for Mania. So having Drew lose the week before Chamber, like, what are we doing?
I feel like there's a lot of, especially with Chamber being next week, there's just matches. I mean, obviously next week they could have something completely different planned because it is the go home show, right? So, maybe this was just a throwaway. I hate saying that too because every match matters to me, at least on television. If you're going to be out there wrestling, it should mean something.
I agree 100% with that, and especially for the season that we're in. You know what I mean? Like, this is too important of a season of programming for them to kind of throw just out the window. This was weird. This was weird. And it's also like, man, the way you lose is really important. And Drew losing to a roll-up sucks. Drew losing to a roll-up against someone like Jimmy's not a small, he's Big Jim, for God's sake. Like, Jimmy's good. Like, just let Jimmy beat him with something that, because it didn't even, my thing with the roll-up in WWE is it rarely looks like, oh, I could quick win the match now if I do this. Like, it doesn't feel like opportunistic flash pin roll-up. It feels like, and a roll-up. Oh my God, he pulled one over on him. Like, it's never done in transition to stuff, or it's never done like in a sneaky way. It just feels like it's just like finishing move C of your repertoire.
And that's one, not, yeah, 100%. Yeah.
It's not the if you're gonna do that finish, that they're rarely produced well. They're rarely produced well in WWE. Drew's facial reactions after were great. I feel like Jimmy Uso in ring is really, really good. He might be better than his brother. Like, I think he's excellent in that way. So I would like to see him get his butt in gear in a story on the way to Mania. That would be really nice to see. So I would appreciate that. But guys, we're working through this episode of SmackDown. If you're just joining now, I do see the numbers going up. Over 9,000 of you watching, 9,300 of you watching right now. We had Sean on at the beginning of the show to talk about whatever mess this was of an episode and a segment. A couple of scoop skis. He gave you some Fightful Select notes. We had a big week on Fightful Select this week, especially yesterday, was loaded with a lot of stuff. That Shane McMahon story about the way that he wanted to come into AEW was something else. That got completed on Fightful Select with some additional context from what was out there. The Ronda Rousey story, that the original pitch was for her to, or one of the pitches considered was for her to be all 29 women in the Women's Royal Rumble. That was broken on Fightful Select. Lots going on FightfulSelect.com. But we did have Sean on at the top there for the first half hour, but we're working our way through the rest of SmackDown. So hang out with us, chat along with us. We're going to keep working our way through this. Let's talk about our women's match on the show, because this had some very odd stuff too. There was so much stuff tonight that just seemed weird. Like, really some did. Stuff is just bad, or some stuff I can recognize is objectively good, but not my taste. Like, I get it. It makes wrestling sense, but it's not for me. That happens a lot too. This was just weird. Matthew Hook saying Triple H isn't escaping the complaints on booking women. Man. So we have Tippy time here. She beats Candice LeRae, and Nia and Candice lay out Tippy after the match. And Trish Stratus comes in with the latest save ever. We've seen some really weird post-match angles in women's wrestling this week. It was rough on AEW with a chair spot with Thunder Rosa. This was really weird too. Charlotte Flair comes out with her entrance music after the match has started to come on commentary and not really say a lot. Like, she didn't really sell the match all that much. She didn't really put Tiffany over as a strong opponent. She kind of talked herself up a little bit and talked about her injury recovery. But it felt like, I was like, is her mic even on for like half this match? It felt like she got thrown out there, because say there's people who don't like her, and I understand, but like, she's not normally uncomfortable on commentary or the mic. Today it felt like she just didn't know what the purpose of her being out there was, except for this post-match angle. Commentary also was talking about her like she wasn't even there for part of this. It was so bizarre. It was so bizarre. And then in this post-match beatdown, Nia delivers, God bless her, like one of the worst annihilators I've ever seen.
Dude.
It was so bad.
Oh my God.
I don't know if she just slipped off the rope or if she's hesitant. I can't imagine. The fact she's ever done a good one is amazing to me, because that's got to be a very scary feeling to her. Her move is to put all of her weight with force sitting down on someone, in this case, two women. But she just kind of like hovered and then half sat down all the way. Like, something went very, very wrong. The match was just a little messy too. There were some uncharacteristically off things for Tiffany Stratton as well. This whole thing was really, really weird. Charlotte's music hitting and her coming out to do commentary after the match started
was
so odd to me. Like, this was, I don't know what, like, if, what the full moon cycle is or whatever, but it's hanging over women's wrestling post-match angles this week. Like, the thing with Thunder Rosa and Penelope Ford and Megan Bain was so weird on Wednesday.
Yes.
And then tonight, I was like, what is going on? This is so messy.
Nothing is safe anymore. We got planes crashing on the tarmacs. We have trucks flipping over in the roads and sinkholes in New Jersey. And now bad segments in wrestling all around.
Well, you just made that really just like sad.
I'm sorry. and an asteroid that's going to annihilate the moon. So, yeah.
Well, I didn't think it was apocalyptic, but apparently Cardoza did over here.
It's wrestling. Wrestling is all life, and life is apocalyptic.
Well, what a sad thing to bring us all down with. Thank you so much.
Well, if you're down, just kidding. We gotta bring it up. We gotta bring the, because this episode was a little bit rough. So, you know, unfortunately, a lot of the bright spots didn't shine as bright as we wanted them to. I mean, even with The Rock there, it's crazy. So, you know.
Well, Alex, if you want to bring it up.
You dealing with a nosy mailman all up in your business about what you're ordering, what you're getting? Well, don't worry about it with BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL. It ships discreetly. Discreetly. Fortunately for you, because the mailman's going to want to know what's going on. He's going to be delivering that mail to your house. He's going to hear all these sounds. He's going to be like, what's going on there? Well, I don't know, because this package doesn't say anything, but I have a feeling the package in there is saying something, and it will be, because of BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL. Same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. Helps get you that main event performance and confidence. And you get your first shipment free when you go to BlueChew.com and use the code FIGHTFUL. Like I said, same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but much more affordable and in a chewable. Take their online quiz, and then when approved, it ships straight to your door. My gosh. BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL. Mind your own business, mailman.
Yeah, mailman.
Yeah, mailman.
You perv mailman.
You always say Sean is looking into your eyes when that segment plays.
He always stares at me.
Maybe he wants your soul.
Maybe he wants my soul and my mailman. I don't know.
He wants your mailman. Maybe he's having issues with his mail. Guys, let in your super chats and humper chats. Leave a thumbs up on this video as well.
He's so angry he puts it into the ad.
That's right. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Does the rock hand gesture to the mailman. Well, Blue Chew, the most consistent blue brand in the game, because tonight's episode was not so great, but we're going to talk about it all. So get in those super chats and leave a thumbs up here. I'm sure Alex Blowski is ranting, like, with anger, but glee the way that he does. all over there. But we did get some cool vignettes today. We got, I would say, too many vignettes today, but they were well done. So I guess I can't complain about the portions being small and the food being bad, right? But Zelina Vega had a very cool vignette. It was well done. They sure do love to retcon stuff, though. They make it sound like that Queen of the Ring tournament was everything.
Yeah.
Just have her pick up some wins to support this vignette. That's all. Like, she just have her, she just switched brands, clean slate. She just got here. Have her pick up some wins. If you want her to feel like a contender for titles, have her pick up some wins. We also get this Alexa Bliss vignette, which feels like she's headed back to Wyatt Sixville. She's like, I think, going to slowly creep her way there. It feels like it might be a slow burn. But what did you think of Zelina and Alexa Bliss's vignettes today?
It was nice to see them put a little spotlight on Zelina. I'm hoping this is, we see, you know, her persona being used as a pro wrestler instead of as a valet or someone who just sticks around like with the LWO, you know, like what she was doing there, which I thought she was going to do a lot more wrestling and be a lot more involved, you know, and it kind of just seemed like there was nothing there.
Sure.
I mean, that's, there's really nothing else I can speculate on except that you know, they're doing some really great camera work and some great vignettes, but there's no follow through a lot of the time, unfortunately. Or if there is follow through, it's just, it's secluded to certain individuals, right? Everything else is just like, okay, cool. And then you're kind of just sitting there waiting around to see what happens. We saw all the Legado de Fantasma stuff, the dinners, the wine, fine wines, and the cheeses and all that good stuff. That's fancy stuff for me, I think. Yeah, so, and where, you know, where they're at now, you know? So
Giovanni Vinci vignette's a good show.
Oh, remember that Pitbull coming out in his Bentley, and now, unfortunately, he's at the breadline.
He will be a shining star wherever.
He'll be somewhere, yeah.
Because he's an unbelievable worker. But Ellen Jeanette saying, speaking of women's wrestling, do you think the Jade Bianca Naomi storyline will escalate at Elimination Chamber? Well, let's discuss this now, because we do have Naomi versus Liv getting thrown out because the heels attack the faces in such a vicious manner that the match can't even get started. That was clearly a time-saving thing for The Rock to wax poetic about literally absolutely nothing. Not absolutely nothing. He said some stuff, but not a half hour's worth of stuff. My goodness. But I think it's fair to assume that that escalates to Chamber. I wouldn't be shocked if the heels win the titles at Chamber. That wouldn't, or no, I guess they can't do that because Bianca is in the Chamber match, right? So,
crazier things have happened. Crazier things have happened.
Someone
you could have a match, you lose it, and now you got to be focused because you got to go to the freaking cage and yada, yada, yada.
Or people get taken out, all of these things, right? Like, so we'll find out. It definitely doesn't feel like these two are the ones to take out Jade, though. The way that they are spoon-feeding it feels like they are making the heel commentator, Wade Barrett, look very smart on commentary, because he was like, I'm not going to jump to that conclusion simply because they were in the general area where someone got attacked. That's not fair. Which I actually think is a very fair approach by Wade Barrett. But I do like the heels being like, well, we would claim credit for it even if we didn't, because that makes it feel like, all right, okay, I see what you're doing over there. So the question still is, who is it? This has been a very poorly run 3-month investigation, but I think it's got to escalate into Chamber. I don't know how, but I think the more and more it goes, the more I want it to Bianca. I just hope that they have the guts to do it.
Could have been Rikishi. Who knows?
Could have been Rikishi. Just take it.
If anyone knows that storyline, you know what I'm talking about.
Sure it is.
And do you know that storyline? Were you watching at that point? Or did you?
I wasn't, but I am familiar with it.
Okay, good. Yeah. All right.
It's Rikishi.
Very weird of the WW, or just WE now. World Entertainment, how they've don't miss gaps when it comes to storytelling, but for some reason this one has just taken a long time to develop, and then just is still kind of like it has a lot of air in between it. Like,
well, it's just like, not generally how investigations work, I don't think. Like,
no,
investigations don't usually go, we have had no evidence, to 3 months later we have an anonymous tip from a cell phone.
Let me tell you something. I watch a lot of Law and Order, a lot of NCIS. All right. I'm just going to let you know right now, a lot of NYPD Blue, The Wire, you name it, I'm watching it.
Oh, there you go. There you go. We're moving along this episode of SmackDown, guys. Get into your super chats and humper chats at humperchats.com. We got Rafael Garcia chiming in via humper chat saying, I understand, but I don't understand in regards to this Rock Cody segment. He says, I am sports confused. I've been sports hoodwinked, sports bamboozled, sports led astray. We saw The Rock last. He's a face. Now he's a tweener who is now Ursula Undertaker, who wants Cody's soul. I see it, but it looks bad. The most I think I saw online was like, this guy did not know whether he was a heel or a face while he was out there. Like, and not like in a fun, what side of the fence is he on, in a way that everyone was like, you are inconsistent with who you're being right now. So I think that is a tough one, but let's kick it back to this tag angle. Miz and Mello defeating Louisiana Knight, LA Knight, and yeah. R-Truth.
Even that was to me, like, I was waiting for something, like, I honestly was thought, like, oh, maybe he did find someone. And when LA Knight came, I'm like, oh, Lord. I mean, it was funny, but.
I gotta say, like, overall, I like Joe Tessitore. Like, I think he's pretty good.
Yes.
But one thing that does bother me, especially after having Vic Joseph for a week, him being surprised at the most obvious stuff in the world drives me nuts. Like, oh my God, you mean the guys who hated each other last week hate each other this week? Color me shocked. Like, Vic Joseph somehow finds a way to put a ton of energy behind those things without making himself look like an idiot. You cannot be that shocked it was Larry Aloysius Knight. You just can't.
The sports guys are a little harder to, especially something like this. When you watch Joe communicate what's going on in front of him, a lot of the time you can tell when the camera pans around, he has a lot of paper in front of him. Sure. He's still getting into this business. So he's already reading all, you know, he's been in the rehearsals. So I think it's kind of harder because he's a sports guy. So when something happens in sports, you have a legitimate, oh my God moment.
Sure.
Right. To be in this wrestling business, and we've had the pleasure of having the Jim Rosses and so on kind of call matches. Those moments always felt special. Now, Joe Torre was a manager for the Yankees.
I wish he was back. I don't want another season of Aaron Boone.
Yeah, Joe has such a unique way of calling and has that voice, like I mentioned before in the past. Like, I like it. It sounds wrestling style, but it's just...
Yeah, the actual timbre of his voice.
Yes, yeah. Like Mean Gene. If you ever listen to old school Mean Gene from WCW days... he has that passion and that, like, well, let me tell you, you know, like, he talks to you. Let me tell you something, brother. That's not what he said, but you know, but you guys know.
The chat saying Moro, though, like, that's another good shout for sure.
Yeah. So, that's why sometimes, like, we feel like you just mentioned, like, okay, cool. You get so excited, you know, or not excited for LA Knight. It's hard to kind of portray that excitement a little bit when he's kind of reading it off of paper.
Yeah, it comes across a little goofbally. A lot of people, I was so happy.
Yes, that's what I didn't want to call it that, but you did. Haha.
Well, it comes across that way to me as someone who's like, of course it's LA Knight, like, duh. But a lot of people were saying that they really liked Vic Joseph last week, and he's kind of tucked away on NXT, and it makes me happy that people reacted the way they did, because he is like the saving grace of that announce desk.
Yes.
And to have him and twice last week, and then to have Ian Riccaboni twice this week, I was like, oh baby.
Yeah.
We're living in Kate's favorite announcer world this week.
We are.
On Graps Television. But here's my thing. Miz and Mello defeat LA Knight and R-Truth because Shinsuke Nakamura. And one, obviously. Two, when Bron Breakker and Carmelo Hayes came through NXT, it was very obvious that they are your two WrestleMania main eventers of the future from that era of NXT. Extremely obvious. Undeniably obvious. And when you look at where Bron Breakker is and where you look at Carmelo Hayes is, I have to wonder what we're doing with Carmelo Hayes. What is this? What is this?
It's a experiment it's an experiment that has wasted all of our after that best of seven. It just feels like I think I said this last week. It's the fact that their stories and their big stories are so saturated within its own little bubble that anyone that's caught outside of that bubble, like a Carmelo Hayes or whatever, just seems like they're just around. They're having fights. They're part of segments. But no end goals or anything like that, right? Like we saw him lose 47 matches in a row, and then kind of now this thing with you get sucked into the vortex of The Miz, where The Miz is always in a tag team with someone, you know?
They didn't even acknowledge that they were tag team champions together until commentary did. Like in that segment, they didn't mention that they were tag team champions together, which feels really, man, what a mess. Yeah. What a mess. Well, let's keep rocking and rolling here. We've got more to talk about. Chelsea Green says after the women's match earlier, after the beatdown rather, on Bianca and Naomi, that she will step in for Elimination Chamber. That's just the kind of president that she is. And she is going to compete on next week's SmackDown. I just love her. I don't know if you know this, but like I'm the funniest, prettiest, longest reigning, bestest, winningest, most gorgeous, most sparkliest, most incredible, pretty and pinkest ever U.S. champion of all time. I love her just leaning into being the inaugural one. So we didn't get to see Chelsea wrestle tonight, but I just do want to say congratulations on another record-breaking week in the title reign of Chelsea Reign. Can we build up some contenders for her?
No. That's the answer to your question.
No notes. I have no argument.
No, they're just I don't know. Maybe we're waiting till after Mania to kind of like ramp things up for the second half of the year. These 3 hour long SmackDowns have not worked out in their favor.
We're going away in May or June.
So supposedly, like... I don't trust anything anyone says until it happens now. So, but the reason why I bring that up is if you have a 3 hour show, you don't give 32 minutes to Dwayne The Rock Johnson. You kind of like, hell, for the last couple of weeks that we've had 3 hours, why couldn't we just dedicate 8 to 15 minutes of that time to have legit matches for the women's U.S. title belt? It's not hard, dude. Like, these guys get paid hundreds of thousands of dollars to do this, to sit backstage and say, hey, here's a piece of paper. You guys are going to have a match tonight. You know,
man, it's nuts too, because like on the Raw side with Lyra, she's had no defenses and she finally has a contender, and it's the person that she beat in the finals for the tournament in Dakota Kai, who nobody wants to see lose.
Yeah,
like it's just nobody wants to see Dakota Kai lose again, and I'm pretty sure she's gonna lose again. So, man, I gotta say, there's a correlation. I'm not saying it's a causation, but there's a correlation that when Becky Lynch left the program, everybody that she helped out kind of just fell apart. Everybody. Some of them got released. Tegan Nox, Xia Li. She went to NXT and had her reign there. I'm just saying, there's a correlation there. Not saying it's the full reason. But that whole picture, that whole title adjacent picture got thrown off a cliff when she was no longer around.
I'm afraid to even bring her back at this point. Like,
I think it's with Lyra so that she comes back and takes it from Lyra.
Yeah?
Yeah. Because there's some NXT lore with that. But that Lyra's whole character for the longest time was Becky Lynch's friend, so
right, yeah.
I think when Becky comes back, it's probably for that, but
weird.
Hey, we got a tag team match that ended in a no contest.
I had no idea. Did you watch it?
We had Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa facing Pretty Deadly, and the match ends in a no contest, excuse me, when the Street Profits interfere. Mm-hmm. This was after the Rock Cody segment, so it already got put like in an unfair place.
And you started off with talking. I'm sorry, I did not mean to.
No, you're good.
Kate of Working Computer Lore. it's just the fact that you just had a 30-minute talking segment, and then you start off this with talking as well. Like, can I just say something real quick? The crowd felt today in Louisiana, they had their pop for their nostalgic feel. But outside of that, they were sitting on their hands most of the time. Yeah. And WWE mics the crowd really well. So you know you're going to get good sound. And you heard like chatter of normal people talking. This guy wanted a hot dog, someone whistling. Like, it was just really weird tonight. And I think AEW had this problem in Louisiana as well, didn't they? They were down at the Popeye Chicken Center.
Let's go.
Like, and we were like, oh man, please don't ever go back to Louisiana. It just like, it was like kind of like dead.
Get it together, Louisiana.
Louisiana.
We heard you there for the Super Bowl.
I love your chicken.
Chicken and jazz. Let's get wrestling on the menu.
Hell yes.
Ricardo saying, hi, lovelies. Just got home. Where the grab's good. Not so great tonight.
No.
Not so great tonight. Though, even the in-ring had some misspots, but the booking was real bad. Taylor Cannon saying, just showing some love for my favorite people. I didn't watch SmackDown, but I'll always support my favorite post-show.
Oh, I love that.
Thank you, Taylor.
You know, can I just say something? We got some really great followers, and there's no such thing as fans. Some friends of the show here. I mean, it's a beautiful thing to see everyone writing in and always talking and DM and just like having fun. Like, we've made such a great little community of I don't know, clavickers and bangers. Bangers and clavickers, baby. Let's go.
That's what we do over here.
That's what we do. We bang clavs. Oh, Jesus Christ. It's after midnight. Been up since 5:30.
We do have this tag match. And before it can even really get going, we have the Street Profits interfering. This definitely smells like we're getting a four-pack with these guys in Motor City Machine Guns Mania or something. Your favorites. I know you're bummed you didn't get to see them tonight.
I'm so sad that they got destroyed.
You're so maniacal about Motor City Machine Guns.
When they came out and beat the living crap out of them. Oh, Lordy. I popped a smile. I was like, I like that. Favorite part. As a matter of fact, SmackDown just turned around for me. One of the best SmackDowns I've seen all year.
Alex Cardoza. Get him out of here. Get him out of here, guys.
2025 couldn't start any better.
Listen, Michael Dammit saying love you guys. Well, damn it. We love you too, Michael Dammit.
Love you, Michael. Throwing kisses to everyone.
Me, Norma, saying not sure how much WWE TV I need to watch between now and Mania. I'll watch Chamber because I'm a sicko. But geez, Louise, these shows are rough. Clavs. Yeah. I love clavs. There's like an exclamation.
Clavs?
Yeah. Like zoinks.
Oh, no, it had exclamation. I'm sorry. I'm thinking question mark. Wow.
Get it together over there.
I'm sorry. I apologize to everyone right now.
You were just so upset that Motor City Machine Guns
got I was very happy. This is one of my favorite episodes. Montez Ford killed him. It was just great. I was just like, wow. And they're so much bigger than them. That made me even happier.
Well, Pretty Deadly, who you do love.
Oh, they're my favorites.
Fishnets. They were also in the mix here. I was bummed because, like, this just is a copy and paste of the role that they were playing in these storylines. So that was a bummer.
Yeah.
Didn't love that. So I like getting to see them show out, and I'm bummed that they didn't get to do this in a meaningful match. Like, they earned this match by winning already, right? So that's a bummer. But I will say I like Street Profits being heels. Dawkins was killing fools, so Orion, Ben, and they did at least, I don't like the framework that it was set up in, but Street Profits played their role very well. So I'm hoping this is a new chapter for them.
Yeah. Street Profits are looking tough. I mentioned this last week. I feel like they were kind of lost for a while. Mm-hmm. I feel like this is what they were supposed to be in the Hurt Business. And for some reason that got overshadowed, or maybe because they just, the workings of contracts and stuff like that, maybe they didn't want to push for like heavier storylines with them. But if this was what they were supposed to be, I'm all in. I just wish that the tag team division was only three tag teams, so we don't see the same like three team turmoil every week. But yeah,
would be nice to freshen it
up. I'm just complaining so much today. Gosh,
it was a bad episode.
I'm sorry, everyone. I'm usually the bubbly, like I'll give everything a try, But tonight was just a little hard.
Sean's about as positive as they come. He was like, this episode was shit.
Yeah, when we were when we were in the green room, because we have a green room, everyone, before we come on here. He was brutally honest. He was like, nah, man, this ain't it.
It was.
I don't know if I'll get my check. I don't know if I'll get my check from TKO this week for this, but you know.
Suspended by TKO.
Can you imagine?
The Rock was like, I choose you as my podcaster now.
I know. And what's his, I forget the name of his writer, but yeah.
Ari Emanuel?
No, that's his.
Oh, his writer.
His writer, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, we all know him. Trust me, we all know him. And the name is on the tip of my tongue, but he's a good friend of Freddie, so I'm sure this is all going to go down the line and I'm going to be gone.
Axed. It's not Road Dogg, I promise.
Brian Gerwitz. There we go. Gerwitz. Yeah, that. Brian.
Well, we closed the show with Braun Strowman and Damian Priest defeating Solo Sikoa and Jacob Fatu in the ways that you would expect. Nice to see Braun Strowman back. This is a good continuation of what we kind of had going on with him and Jacob Fatu. Someone's got to tell Joe Tessitore how to say the last name Fatu, by the way, because it's not the way that he was saying it, or at least that we've heard so far. But there was interesting stuff going on earlier in the episode with Solo and Jacob Fatu as well, that Solo had said last week was a misunderstanding. I really liked his segment last week, but this week he accidentally takes out Jacob Fatu in this match, which ultimately costs them. I feel like we've seen it before. But Jacob Fatu is such like a monster. I'm so in on all of this. Like it's been really, really fun to see how believable he is in every promo setting they put him in. You put him in those walk and talk segments, he's great. You put him in an in-ring promo, he's great. You put him in segments like we saw earlier, which was just like a quick backstage where Solo was defending himself. And he's like, all right, but I'm putting you... You're on notice with this, though. So we'll see where this goes. I think there's a couple of possibilities. There's plenty of possibilities. Now it feels like everything's up in the frickin' air. But I really like what we've gotten out of Jacob Fatu. His stock continues to rise. Mm-hmm. These past couple weeks, I think, have been really good for Solo since he's returned. Like, his character has more emotional appeal than it has in the past. So I like that. I just don't like the tired playbook of the ending. But I will say, it is a signature of the Bloodlines playbook, right? Like, this is something that is directly in Bloodline lore. So while I'm a little tired of it, I get the significance there and it makes some sense. How did you feel about the ending of SmackDown tonight?
It is what it is. It just, the whole show, even the ending, felt a little bit flat. So the thing with Jacob Fatu is that he looks and sounds like a real G, right? Like, you know, someone who you would talk to on the street, and if, you know, he was your friend, he tells you how it is, right? My late brother was like that. He was just like straight up, you know, gangster. And that's what he is. You know, he's soft-spoken and like, but gosh, when he's looking down at you and when he's going to attack you in the ring, you know, my only complaint. That's a joke. My only complaint about this is that if you're going to continue to make him feel special with these walkthrough promos that he does to enter into the match, I think they need to center this and just keep that on him. I think what's happening is with WWE is they overuse everything all the time. Camera shots, this, blah, 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 blah. So with this tracking shot, I just wanted to see it on him. I don't want to see it on Big Jim. I don't want to see it on Big J. You know, I just want to see it on him then.
On Big Fat too. Yeah.
Because it takes away. Like, I just saw this. And so you started the show with a tracking shot of someone coming in. I want it just on. I know it's ridiculous, but I'm an old school wrestling fan. And when you honed in on a wrestler and you made him feel special, that's what the things that you did. So like when Big Kevin Nash won the title from Shawn Michaels back in the 90s, he was the big guy. And you had that lower shot of him looking up. And he was the only wrestler in the roster, even though we had more wrestlers that were huge, that you would give that huge shot to. Let's give Jacob Fatu some respect, baby. You know what I'm saying? He's murdering people in the ring and killing it with the promos. That's my only gripe. Man, the in-ring stuff was great with him, so I don't even have to like talk about that. But I think that was my only gripe today. I like what they're doing with him, and when he decides to do the Bloodline 3.0, it's gonna be dope.
I do want to see what we're getting set up at Mania for him, because I think there's a few interesting possibilities on the table. But it is crazy how much he's walked in and just been a main eventer since he got there.
Like, yes,
everything you want in a main event wrestler, this guy is doing, and he just assimilated so well. And for a guy who was in a supporting role, who's now kind of shifting to the spotlight, I feel like he knows exactly how to add value in the way that he's intended to every time he goes out there. That's a really, really, really special thing. Second Lieutenant Colonel Photo asking thoughts on the Yankees killing the facial hair policy. I have way less issues with them killing that policy than I do with them extending Aaron Boone. I'll tell you that much. But
there's no one else out there, Kate. There really isn't. Why are they extending him? You're not gonna find anyone. There's no one else out there.
End up with like Nestor Cortez's mustache on the mound.
The only other viable
2027, Alex.
I know the only viable person that I would ever accept who is a genius at baseball, who I've watched since he was 18 and I was a young little pup collecting his baseball card, is Alex Rodriguez, who is a genius at baseball. I mean, his IQ, his baseball IQ, they do the Manning cast for Monday Night Football, where they have the Manning brothers do it for now that ESPN no longer has baseball. They were having the K-Rod, Michael Kay and him, do the show, like, you know, watch the second screen version of it. And he is, I mean, insane. He would make a great manager. I know Aaron Boone. Sorry, guys. I know we're talking baseball here. I watched the game today against Tampa Bay. So baseball's back, baby.
Baseball is so back. And I would take a lukewarm glass of milk next to Aaron Boone.
Oh, that's so wrong. Can it be almond milk at least?
The worst. Yeah, and oat milk probably.
Oh, yeah, oat milk. Yeah.
Guys, that is our episode of SmackDown for today. I will say, I didn't catch if they actually aired this, but I'm sure that they did, because I can't imagine they would leave this off. But the Kevin Owens Twitter
video?
They did.
Okay, that's an overused angle, too. And that goes for every company. Please stop going to people's houses and being creepy.
No, his was so good, though.
And watching them through a window. Like, my goodness.
No,
haven't we learned from when...
so selfish too.
Haven't we learned when Brian Pillman and Stone Cold had that
wrestling? We don't learn things around here. No, this was so well done though, because Kevin Owens is like, you know what, Sammy, you're selfish. He was like, you're selfish to let all this happen when you have this beautiful family. And then he just shows him and he shows Sami Zayn and Sami Zayn's family in Sami Zayn's house. And it caught me off guard in a really great way, because he's always doing car promos. So the fact that the setting was weird didn't really throw me until the reveal happened. And I was like, whoa, I was for it. It was good stuff.
But yeah, I mean, they always do great things. I just, you know, I was just like, are we really looking into the house? As soon as I saw it, I'm like, please don't do it.
If Sami Zayn turns around and burns down Kevin Owens' childhood home, then you can.
We should do that. We should go all in.
More arson. We are for more arson on this show.
It's done wonders for Hangman, so.
It has. Whew! They started off Dynamite hot this week. But, guys, that is our post show for today. Thank you so much for tuning in. Kind of a weird one. We were all pretty down on this episode. We try not to be so negative, but this one.
We brought it up for everyone.
It was kind of a stinker
in
overall,
one
but.
In more ways than one.
Yeah. Heyo,
Blue Chew. There it is. Sorry, I'm just trying to plug my sponsors, you know.
That's it. We didn't even do the extended sponsor chat tonight, so I appreciate calling it back at the end. But guys, we are gonna get out of here. We hope you choose us to be the people's podcasters. on your Friday nights. Thank you so much for tuning in. Stay tuned to Fightful Select. The Discord will be happening this weekend, says Sean Rossap. So log on to that. There was actually a video that just went up on how to join the Fightful Select Discord if you are struggling with how to access it. I know some people were like, what's the deal? Mike Straw did that for us. He's been doing some great work for us overall. Meet Norma saying, toodles, bravs, meet forever. Meet forever. But before we get out of here, Cardoza, there's some names that you always drop on the floor.
Hey, everyone. If you, too, like to be scared, check out That Was Pretty Scary with Freddie Prinze Jr., who you might know from
Scooby-Doo.
I Know What You Did Last Summer. I never mentioned that other one. and Mr. John Lee Brody, who is an amazing historian in the film industry and has done some great work himself. That comes back on the 5th of March. We're coming back for our third season. I've been producing that now for the last, it'll be three now. So it's a great show. Tons of followers and people just loves like horror and scary films. And that horror genre is insane. So if you guys can go check it out, That Was Pretty Scary. And of course, my 90s pod is coming along really well. And that should be coming soon. Follow AlexisCardoza.com and you will get all your information from there. Thank you very much.
What a cliffhanger.
Look at that.
Guys. It was an off week for SmackDown, but we're going to turn it around. We're going to have a great time next week. You can follow me at Miss Kate Fabe on social media and my own YouTube channel, which is going to have content coming back, I think, next week. There's some fun stuff going on, but I also have some extremely silly things coming to Instagram. So you can follow me at Miss Kate Fabe on Instagram. We've got some very silly reels coming along, but follow Fightful on this YouTube channel. Please, please, please subscribe. We really appreciate it when you guys do that. Yeah. And subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. We've got all the scoops you could ever want, even the ones that aren't ours. Usually Sean is able to verify and give you some more contextual information. So subscribe here. Hang out with cool people in the Discord. We love you so much. We love you, Kylie. We see you sneaking in.
And I'm a TikToker now, too, so follow me there.
Oh, my gosh. Have a safe and wonderful wrestling weekend, guys. We'll see you next week.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for
in Dax's domain. We see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell. Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.